Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. This is where we ended up last week. King James, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again for this opportunity to come before the throne of grace and receive with meekness your engrafted word. We have just an attitude of humility and teachableness. We thank you, Lord, that we honestly know that we need help. We need your wisdom. We need your input. We need your understanding, your goodness, your grace. We thank you for your good news of the gospel. And so, Father, as we dive into your word tonight, there's going to be some scriptures we're going to look at that I trust that the Holy Spirit is going to take them off these pages, out of our Bibles, and make them alive and make them real, make them personal, make them applicable, make them doable, so that we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who can lead us and teach us and guide us into all the truth. We give you all the glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed and said,
Amen.
Now, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about it's time to seek the Lord ever since the first of the year. Can you believe January's already over? Man, this month just flew by. I don't know about you, but it's February already. And as we went through that and looked at a number of scriptures, we talked about Hebrews 11, that Enoch was translated because he had this testimony he pleased God, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's what? A rewarder. We spent a lot of time talking about that rewarder principle, that there's something that God desires to give to us. He's a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. Not just kind of, well, you know, I wonder where God is today. You don't have to seek God in that sense. You diligently seek him in the sense of you search after and seek after the things of God in your life. God's not lost. He's not wandering around like some absent-minded man. I wonder where God is today. You know, he didn't walk out of the nursing home and get lost. We're the ones that probably are lost when we don't know where we are in the things of God. But it says to seek him with all our heart. Just be diligent in it. And we talked about a number of issues that we're seeking him for direction. We're seeking him for wisdom, for answers, to inquire, to require. We talked about Gideon's fleece. I encourage you to go back and listen to those things. Oh, sorry, we can't. Those didn't get recorded properly, so I'll retract that statement. But we did talk about Hebrews chapter 1, that God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And we pointed out the fact that in the day that the book of Hebrews was written, they're calling that the last days. That's a long time ago. But he still called that the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last of the last days. And so as we look at that, there's something about knowing how God speaks, knowing when God speaks, that in times past, various ways, at various times, he spoke through the prophets. But now he has spoken and he is speaking to us today through his word, by his spirit. Jesus and the word are one. We established those principles, went through those scriptures. We know exactly the fact that as his sheep, we know his voice, and we will follow after his voice. John 10:5 talks about they will never follow a stranger. Instead, one translation says they will run away from him, the stranger, because they don't recognize that voice, the voice of that stranger. We talked about the illustration of someone trying to impersonate the voice of a friend of yours or your your spouse, and you know, someone were to call me up and say, "Hi, honey, this is your wife, Mary." I'd say, that dark, deep, gravelly voice doesn't quite sound like her. No, I would know her voice. All she'd have to say is, "Hi, honey," and I would know who it is. Isn't that true? And now there are people who have similar voices. There's sometimes when our son was at our house, someone would call our house, and my son would answer the phone, and they'd start talking to them as if they were talking to me, because he has a certain similar tone and timbre of his voice. But you know what? He's not me. As soon as you start talking to him for a while, you realize, hey, you're not Pastor Duane. Of course not. You just talk to him for a little bit. Talk to him, and you'll recognize that voice, won't you? And so it takes time with someone. It takes familiarity with someone. It takes time to learn and be acquainted with them, that when they do speak, oh, I know that voice. I know the voice of my good shepherd. And another voice I will not follow. And we teach our children, you know, that's a stranger, run away. Well, isn't that what we should do with the stranger voice of the devil or a false prophet or something that we're going to look at here in a minute? That's what we deal with. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 again, but I'm going to read it to you this time out of the New Living Translation. We never got to this last week. I want to remind you, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that talks about all Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, New Living Translation. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His majestic splendor with our own eyes. When He received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to Him, notice it says, the voice. You know, nowadays you have TV shows and you have different things talking about the voice, and they're trying to find people with just this perfect voice. I know the voice that I want to hear. It's God's voice, the voice of His Word. This voice, this majestic voice, this majestic, glorious voice of God said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. I want all of us to be having that testimony. When God hears your name or talks about you and say, this is my wonderful, beloved son or daughter, and they bring me great joy. And that's what I believe, as we get into the Word and know Him and spend time with Him, it just brings joy to the Father. He says, we ourselves, verse 18, heard that voice from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. And above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. That's why I picked this particular translation, because I like the way they come out with the real true kind of underlying meaning here. There's no personal input, so to speak, of, well, I'm just going to prophesy based on my experience. In the Old Testament, God warned that many prophets were doing that. They were prophesying out of their own heart, out of their own mind, out of their own substance. And God wasn't too happy about it. And so He says, no, the Scriptures that we have, the Scriptures that we depend on, above all, you must realize that no prophecy, verse 20, in Scripture, prophetic word in Scripture, ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. Where did they come from as far as speaking? From God. Now again, we don't have speakers in here right now, but I use the illustration that if we were in the sanctuary tonight and we had the sound booth back there and I was on the platform and we had the speakers up here and you could hear my voice through those speakers, what they were doing, they'd be controlling the voice, they would be controlling the volume, they'd be controlling sometimes even maybe the bass or the treble or how it's balanced. They could control that coming out of the speakers. And if you're far enough back, if you're not right in front and I'm not speaking loud, I'm speaking a little louder tonight because we don't have a microphone or an amplification system in here. So I'm casting my voice a little louder. But if I wasn't, I would just be talking more normal. And it's a lot easier to talk normal because it's not so much of a strain on your throat. But I'm not. So I'm speaking like this. So the speakers would amplify that and bring that sound all the way to the back of the room. But what are you hearing? Are you hearing me or are you hearing the speakers? So you're hearing the speakers, but you're hearing what I speak. Do you know what a prophetic voice is? A speaker. It's not originating the sound. It's pronouncing the sound. It's projecting the sound. It's, in a sense, pushing that sound out there for us so that we can hear it clearly. And anytime someone stands up in, say, a charismatic service and says, "Thus saith the Lord," or "I have a word from the Lord," or something like that, many times what you're really hearing is not what they were thinking of, not what their understanding at that time was. They are tapping into something the Spirit of God desires to say to the body of Christ. And what they did here in those days, they wrote down many of those things that came by prophetic utterance, by supernatural utterance. And as they wrote those things down, they recorded them, and God made sure that we were able to hold on to them. Amen. And keep them. Yes. And there's so many things that validate that. Yes. In fact, I was real tempted at the beginning of this week. I started taking other notes. I started going another direction with my message, and I had to pull myself back. And I said, well, that's where I want to go. That's not where the Lord was having me go with this series. Because I wanted to get into some things about the validity of the Word and the integrity of the Word, and you know, that's maybe another series and another time. For right now, what I want to get across to you is this. God is speaking to the church today. He's not speaking through circumstance. We already established previously that He wasn't in the storm, He wasn't in the tornado, He wasn't in the earthquake. He speaks through the still small voice on the inward man. Jesus said, "I have to go away because I'm going to send someone to you. It's more important that He is be with you." And it says He will be where? In you. Now again, I'm going to pitch what Pastor Mary was teaching about those in Him realities. I know that that's what got her through this last year. The things that challenged her, I walked through with her. And those in Him principles, if she had not had that foundation, I don't know where she would be today. Honestly, I don't know. Some of the days that she fought and some of the days that she struggled, thank God she had that foundation to hold her up when everything else was being shaken. And you know what? The enemy would love to shake you and rattle you and put an earthquake in your life. And if you don't have a solid foundation, some things are going to fall down. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Above all, it says, verse 20, you must realize that no prophecy, no prophetic scripture ever came because of the prophet's own understanding. We could say their own motivation, their own human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. We could say they spoke for God. So I believe Peter's making a very specific point. In this passage, he's saying the word that they had, that written word, those prophetic words that were written down that they could keep going back and looking at, that they could depend on. He says, that's a more sure word of prophecy. That's what the King James says in verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. It says, whereunto we would do well to do what? Take heed. So if you want a title for tonight, simple words, take heed. When I did I've taught along these lines before, but when you do a concordance and you run references in different translations and you look it up in a lot of different ways, this phrase, take heed, is used over and over and over and over throughout scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament. At this place of transfiguration, you got Peter, James, and John. They're having this supernatural experience. They're watching Jesus. They go up with Him, this natural man, and all of a sudden, something happens. You've seen maybe some movies about it, or you've seen maybe some videos, or different kids' cartoons have come up with some animation about it, and they have the glory of this cloud coming around Jesus, and here's the three disciples on the ground in awe, in amazement. One of them's covering his face like, "Ah, what's happening?" And I don't know what their true disposition was. We're not told. The only thing we're told is that right away, Peter jumps in and decides, we should build an altar. let's build an altar to all three because Moses and Elijah show up. Now, wait a minute. I thought Moses and Elijah were dead. So, wait a minute. Moses comes up. Some say that Elijah had never died. He was taken up. So, some believe that Elijah came down. So, we had someone coming up from Abraham's bosom. We had someone coming down from heaven. And we have Jesus in the middle being transfigured, talking to what's up above, talking about what's below, and getting instructions, and talking to them about what he's going to be doing. He's telling Elijah, get ready, because I'm coming. Moses, you get everybody lined up. Make sure they say, you know, get all their stuff packed up, ready to go, because I'm coming soon. We're going to vacate the place. We're moving out. So I don't know what kind of conversation they had, but they're there, they're watching all this. And of course, then Peter says to Jesus, this is great that we were here, Jesus. Now we can build an altar to you and to Elijah and to Moses. And, you know, all three accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, what they call the Synoptic Gospels, not one of them has Jesus responding to him. Not one. Do you know why? Because God cut him off. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. While he yet spoke, while Peter's going on about this, you can go back and read that earlier. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Can you imagine the sensory overload of what they were seeing and what they were hearing and what was going around? That Jesus is this translucent, glorified, transfigured person. I believe they saw into the realm of the Spirit and saw the real Jesus. Probably the Jesus that's described in Revelation chapter 1. Because John describes him again later on in Revelation chapter 1 when he sees him as a much older person. John sees him again and he sees this glorious personality. See, you and I, we sometimes just get our little painting of Jesus that we see that somebody painted, and then we get stuck with that image. Or we see a Jesus movie, or we see some, you know, something, and we get stuck with that image. We're all going to be very surprised. I think we are. I have no idea what Jesus, I have not seen Jesus face to face, but I've seen enough about Jesus and seen him in action enough to know that he's glorious. That he is awesome. That there's just the radiation of light coming out is going to be overpowering. I think in most cases, if we came face to face with Jesus, we probably wouldn't even look at his face. We'd be on the ground at his feet. I think that's where we'd probably all end up. Mark chapter 9, verse 7 says this is a parallel to it, that this cloud overshadowed them, and there came a voice out of the cloud. Mark's or Luke's account says the same thing. A voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my Son, my chosen. Hear him. Always the danger of deception for us, if we don't take heed, is we will start to have an experience and we will spiritualize the experience to the point that others will then get superstitious about it. And I talked about this previously. Where sometimes something supernatural happens, and if you're not careful, we get caught up in the event, we get caught up in the action, we get caught up in the place. Now, you know what? Josh got healed on his knees on that chair, kneeling with his head right in there. And if you want to get healed, you come on up here and you kneel. Just no, that's, you got your feet wrong. Josh had his feet like this. If you want to get healed, and see, we create a tradition and doctrine out of it, don't we? You know, some churches say, well, if you want to have the Holy Spirit come upon you, you got to take all your jewelry off. You know, you can't have any jewelry on because the Holy Ghost won't come and dwell on you if they have any jewelry on. So we're all, I haven't had this ring off in 40 years. I can't get filled with the Holy Ghost now. Isn't that just dumb? Yep. Sadly, that's some of you know stories like that. Thank God I've never been around too many of those situations. A voice came out of a cloud. What would you do if you were standing there and this glory comes up and a voice starts speaking and you can't see it? All you can see is this glory, this bright light, this presence, this translucent light. Wow. And this voice comes booming out of there. I don't think it was a wimpy little voice. I don't think so. I think it was one of those kind of voices that when it comes out, your whole inward, you know, your organs are even moving. Huh? You go to some of these movie theaters now and something crashes, you feel the crash. Yeah, some of you have been to those movies, right? Now, I don't know about you, but when the voice of God speaks, I want to be so moved by it that I know that it's real. I don't want to just have the experience. Because again, we could go back and they could have just gotten all religious about having an altar there at that mountaintop. We don't know if they ever went back to that place specifically again. We don't. We know Jesus would go back to certain places for prayer and for meditation and for quiet times, sometimes by himself. But the problem is, if he kept going back to the same place, doing the same thing, what would probably have happened? There would become an altar there, wouldn't it? It would become a shrine. We have to be very careful about that. I believe Peter's first reaction, even though genuine and sincere to build an altar, was actually very superstitious, very religious. And I love the fact that God's response was basically to cut him off and have that voice speak out of that cloud and interrupt him right in mid-thought about, you know, how, because, you know, Peter, he's going to start organizing. He's, hey, guys, let's grab some rocks. Well, when the cloud's there and the voice is there and everything else is there, who's going to be thinking about rocks? I don't think anybody is. Turn over to Matthew 24. Before Jesus goes to the cross, he has some last final days with his disciples, and he unloads a lot of stuff to them between his triumphant entry and what we call Palm Sunday to his day of crucifixion. In Matthew 24, it's some of these last days of his life. He's sitting with his disciples. And one of the last things he says to them in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. He knew that there would be a lot of false religious things happening in the years ahead. And he said, you need to be prepared for this. He said, you need to know the word well enough and become so familiar with it and recognize it so that when something else that comes along that doesn't sound right, you can do the whole little thing. Stranger! Stranger! And run away. Huh? Stranger danger. Thank you. That's right. This is dangerous when you listen to the stranger, that strange voice. So how do we guard ourselves against the temptation to be led astray by the enemy? Because that's exactly what the Greek Living Translation, one other translation says, Young's says, take heed that no one lead you astray instead of just deceive you. There's something about leading you astray, because I don't think you just can be deceived without knowing it, in the sense that you have to be curious. You have to be open, because Eve, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, could have stopped the temptation when Lucifer said, hath God said? Had she accurately known what God had said, could she have stopped that whole situation? I believe she could have. But again, out of ignorance, out of not knowing the full context of the word, why, we don't know. What God said to Adam obviously got passed down to Eve, but Eve didn't either hear or understand the whole story. Because she says, oh, we can't even touch it. That's not what God ever said to Adam. Go back and read it. How could he take care of it and tend the garden? He just said, don't eat of it. But you know what? There's tending to it, protecting it, keeping it, guarding it. And that's what we have to do with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because we're all tapped into that tree today in this lifetime. We have to guard ourselves against that good and evil. Understand good and evil. Be aware of good and evil. Because that tree and that fruit is in our life, whether we like it or not. And so for us, we can look at this situation and say, take heed that no one lead you astray. Lead you down a path to a place where you no longer trust or believe or know what God wants you to know.
hear what God wants you to hear.
1 Timothy 3:2 says this, "Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Would have been good advice for Adam at the time, wouldn't it? It's good advice for us. Take heed to our doctrine. Take heed to what we are being taught. Take heed to what we say to others. I mean, I take very seriously my responsibility when I stand in this pulpit, because whatever I say, I have to give account for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your intellect. What you take in, because I'm in a position of trust, I'm in a position of authority, I'm in a position of responsibility, and as people will sometimes just accept, well, yeah, Pastor gave us 8 scriptures, and boy, I just know that that's true. But, you know, there's people that believe that, and then next thing you know, they're off doing some pretty crazy stuff. That's why we have so much strife and division in the body of Christ today. Because someone comes up with their revelation, their special revelation. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is warning the disciples again. He says, "Take heed of false prophets who come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So we're commanded to take heed. Other translations use the word beware of, again, those who will lead us astray into captivity, into darkness, into deception. And how would we know that? How do we take heed? Because I know the truth so well. I know the real so well that when the imposter speaks, we could say the ventriloquist speaks, because that's what the devil's doing. He's casting his voice out there, trying to sound like someone else, but he's just the dummy. All right? He speaks trying to impersonate the voice of God. And we need to say, no, that's not the truth. I recognize that. And I will not have anything to do with it. Take heed of these false prophets, these false teachers, false ministers, who will come unto you in sheep's clothing. So in other words, they're going to come along and they may look just like you, they may smell just like you, they may act just like you, but you know, when you start listening, no, there's something not right. There's something just not right. You know, every now and then over the years, we've had some interesting people show up at our door. And they walk in the church and, you know, kind of tell you that they're prophet so-and-so. I'm thinking of one right now, years ago, that I remember Lewis had to deal with him right at the front door. You know, when you get someone who believes that they're a prophet of God, that they have a word from the Lord for you, and then they come in and they start telling you stuff that has nothing to do with you, they don't know anything about you, they don't know anything about the church, and quite honestly, the things that they say have nothing to do with Scripture. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, do you think it's the Word of God? No. Probably not. That ought to be a sure sign. But see, some people are so desperate. Some people are so hungry for anything supernatural that they'll get caught up with it. Oh, did you hear that guy? He prophesied about this, that, and the other, and he prophesied, and I'm gonna give that guy that $1,000 he prophesied about. Well, you know, I have a prophecy for all of you. You should all give the church $10,000 tonight. Is that a word from the Lord? No. See, I could, if I wanted to get into manipulation, I could get up here and get real spiritual, shake about, spit, and do all kinds of fun things. Aren't you glad we're not videotaping this? I am. Sadly, there's places like that that stuff goes on like that. And I don't know about you, but if I was in the back row, I'd go, "Stranger danger!" And I'd be out the door. Now, you know, if God says to you, "I want you to put $10,000 in the church because God tells you to do it." I didn't tell you to do it, because God tells you to do it. You're going to hear that still small voice. You don't need to hear it from me. You don't need to hear it from the brother sitting next to you praying over you. "Oh, Lord, have Brother Josh give the church $10,000. No. You know, I've been in that place where I've been at the altar praying and someone comes alongside of me and starts praying. "Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that. That someone's going to give me money." And they kind of look at you. I said, "My name's not someone." Take heed. Take heed. The Message puts it this way. Be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they are out to rip you off some way or another. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. That's a good translation of that. That's a good word. Amen? Be wary. Take heed of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Now, I know Christian television has some good things on it, but every now and then, you just got to change the channel. Because chances are they are out to rip you off somewhere or another. Don't be impressed with their charisma.
Amen.
But their character. Look for character. Take heed and beware. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to share this. Every now and then, we get phone calls at the church. And we've had some problems working with Comcast and CenturyLink, and now that we're in a different phone zone, I've had nothing but headaches for the last 90 days getting the church phone to work right. This week, I finally got it fixed after going through an hour of talking to 8 different customer service reps and pushing buttons. When I finally got to the person, she says, "Well, I don't know what the big deal is. She fixed it in 2 seconds." I was like, "Why couldn't I talk to you?" The Lord's teaching me patience. So, when somebody calls the church number, it rings, and we have a church office number in our home now, like we always did here. But because it's a different exchange and all this, it's just got very complicated. So I got a phone call today. And this gentleman said, "Oh, hi, this is Bert. I talked to somebody there at the church this week about helping me out." And I'm thinking, "No, you didn't." I mean, you don't start out with a lie. Beware. I'm sitting there studying this afternoon. Beware of false brethren. And I get a phone call from Bert. Bert, the false brother. And pretty soon he starts giving me the sob story. You know, his mother passed away, and he needs to go to Chicago, and he had to, pawn his guitar, and he's $48 short. And so I said, "Well, have you talked to your pastor?" "Well, I don't go to church." I said, "Well, does anyone in your family go to church?" "No." So I always love to say, "Well, you need to talk to a pastor. You need to be in fellowship." So I give him my little spiel about why it's important to be part of a family, because then you've got fellowship, you've got people who care, you've got people you can go to. And he said, "Well, I don't have any of that." And I said, "Well, okay, your mother's in Chicago. Did she go to church?" "No." After about 5, 6, 7 minutes of this, Q&A session going back and forth and him keep coming on with the sob story, I just said, "I really don't have a benevolence fund to help people in this situation. I'm sorry." It's really hard to say no to people. I'm always very conscious of the fact that strangers might be knocking at your door, putting you to the test, might be an angel. But my first clue is if they lied to me right up front, I don't think it was an angel. I know who the father of liars is. And so as graciously I said, I did my part to direct him. Says, what you need to do in the future, you need to get involved in a church. You need some people around you, some fellowship around you. "Well, I'm in a nursing home. I'm an old man, and I've got this." Then they really start laying on. I'm thinking, okay, if you're an old man, how old was your mother that just died in Chicago? If you're crippled up and you're on oxygen and you're in a nursing home and you can't walk, but it just kept getting worse and worse. It was like one of those stories, on TV. Like, how bad is your story, And, I'm very gracious when I talk to those people on the phone. But there is a point where I just have to keep saying, "I'm sorry, I'm not in a position to help you right now. I'm sorry, I'm not in a position to help you right now. You need to go call first, call for, you need, have you tried this? Have you tried?" Can't you just give me some cash? That's all he wanted was some money. It's really sad when people think the church has so much money that they're going to steal from God.
Yeah.
That's God's money. That's His money. And you're going to con God out of some cash?
You can pick God's pocket?
See, it's not about just false preachers. It's false brethren who can smile, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they're out to rip you off too. Amen. So you just got to be aware, take heed. Matthew 16 puts it this way. Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, I won't get into the leaven on that right now because I'm probably going to teach a whole series on that later on in spring. Haven't taught it for a long time, but I'm kind of gearing up for it. He says in Mark chapter 4, When you think about all these different voices, the voice that came out of the cloud, the voice that calls me on the telephone, the voice that bombards you at night when you wake up in the middle of the night, that starts accusing you of something or tempting you with something, or, you know, whatever these voices are. And we've talked many times before about 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it says there are many voices in the world. And it says none are without significance. They can all be significant if you pay attention to them. But let's know the significant voice of God. Amen? Right. All right. Mark chapter 4 says this. Take heed. Everyone say, take heed. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So he's talking about hearing something. And when you hear something, and when you've taken heed to what you've heard, and the measure of thought and intention and concentration that you put on it, the way the Amplified and others put on it, is really will depend on how much you get out of it, if I can put it that way. So he says, take heed what you hear. Underline the word what in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. It's a key word. Now over in your margin, perhaps you have a parallel passage, a little PP that says Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Jump over there. Because in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, it says, therefore take heed how you hear. It's very different. Mark 4, in the so or so is the word principle. Says, take heed what you hear. Luke chapter 8 says, take heed how you hear. Why is there a difference? Because not only it's what you hear, but it's how you hear it. Because we can say exactly the same thing sometimes to some people, and one person walks away with it thinking, well, I think he meant this. Another person walks away saying, no, he meant this. Well, rather than arguing about what he meant, why don't you come back and ask them what he meant? Because that's usually where, you know, gossip and hearsay and strife and things get goofy. Well, I thought he meant this. If it's not clear, then go back and ask. If you're not clear what God's speaking, go back and ask. Ask, seek, knock, and it'll be open to you. That's a promise. So in this case, not only it's what I need to hear and the measure in which I pay attention to it and I use it and I grab hold of it and it'll be measured or returned back to me, I'll be given more because I hear it, I'll act on it, I'll be a doer of it. And then in Luke chapter 18, or 8:18, it says, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Has what? Has heard it in such a way that he understands what's going on, understands the principle, understands the concept. And whoever does not have what he heard and understand it, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Why? Because take heed. Take heed. It can be stolen from you. You can be led astray. If you don't take heed, not only what you hear, but how you hear. Why do you think we have people walking around today, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord, that are still struggling with the idea that God really loves them just the way they are? And God wants to improve their life and transform them and change them. They don't have to impress God. God's trying to impress on them His character. Yeah, we have to take responsibility for what we get into as far as the Word that can renew our mind and change us. God's done everything He's going to do about salvation. God's done everything He's going to do about healing. So why is it that we have people still walking around? Why do we have ministers in the pulpit today preaching that God wants Christians sick because God's trying to teach you something. I don't understand it. I don't get it. That's a stranger danger, and I would run from that doctrine in a heartbeat. It's exactly what I did when I was 15 years old, when my pastor told me that when my dad died. At 10, by 15, I was an agnostic. Within those 5 years, I turned so liberal, so hard, so against God as a teenager, simply because somebody kept telling me that God was the one I should be holding responsible for my dad dying of cancer. Now, sadly, I went through confirmation. I went through Christian teaching as a kid, like a lot of you did. But I wasn't taught the good news. I was taught the traditions and doctrines of men, like many of you were. And those traditions and doctrines of men, if you're not careful, they will put down a foundation. And sometimes what it takes, my job, is to get in there with the truth. And you may not realize that's what I'm doing, but I'm bringing a jackhammer to some of your foundations of traditions and doctrines, and I'm putting some dynamite in there, and I'm blowing up some of that stuff. And then some people get all upset. They get, I blow up something that they're really holding on to. Well, I like that pet doctrine. It's a nice little pet doctrine. And I come along and I say something that there's... I know pet doctrine. And they try to glue it all back together. And they just put it back on the shelf in my pet doctrine. I like being sick. Because people have pity on me. People take care of me. Actually, we have, Mary and I'll tell you, we knew a guy at Rhema that when we were at healing school. He was on disability, and he wanted to stay on disability because then he didn't have to go to work. But it was great because he got this disability check, and then he could go volunteer at church, and he could go do this, he could go do that. I said, wouldn't it be better if you got healed and you could go out and have a job where you can make three times as much money and you could still volunteer? In fact, you could go out and make so much money, you could do all kinds of stuff, but you're trusting in the government for your wonderful, nice little limited check every month because it's comfortable.
Come on, talk about it.
That's a hard thing to say to someone at the time. But as, again, you may think I'm being partial here, but I am because she's my favorite preacher. You need to listen to the message from tonight, the quick class, because she nails this. She does a better job at it than I do. She's more gracious than I am. I do stick the dynamite in there and light it, and she kind of dusts it off for you a little bit. Take heed. All right, I see I'm running out of time again. Take heed, not only what you hear, take heed how you hear it. And when we understand what's been given to us, what might be taken away from us, or what we take from what we hear, and how we hear it when God's speaking to us, that'll help change us. That'll help transform us. That'll help us become the person that Christ wants us to be. Again, the danger of deception and the warnings are given over and over. Let me just quick go through these. We won't spend any time on them because I'm running out of time. Don't bother to turn them. Let me just quick read a few of these to you. There's so many of them. 1 Corinthians 10:12, I'll use this one. Wherefore, let him that thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. In the context, again, what is it? The guy says, oh, I'm doing just fine. I don't need any help. And I'm doing just great. You need to keep getting in the Word. Because if you think you're standing strong and standing in faith, that's about the time somebody can come along and just kick one of your feet out from underneath you. And take heed lest you fall. Hebrews 3. 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. One says being led astray from God. See, if there's something in you that just will not be teachable or submitted to the things of God, he calls that an evil heart. That's sad. That's tough. Who wants to be called that? But he's talking to brethren. 2 Peter chapter 3. I am warning you ahead of time, dear friends. Be on guard, beware, and take heed, is what other translations say, so that you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. That foundation. You know, when I was studying this series, one of the things as I was studying this series, and I put about a lot of these notes on the side because I just can't go there right now. But I found this phrase that kept coming back to me. The word of the Lord came to me saying. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. If you read through the Old Testament, you see that all the time, especially Ezekiel and some of the Old Testament prophets. I mean, every other chapter, the word of the Lord came to me saying. And then the word of the Lord came to me saying. Now, I'm one of those that believes that the word of the Lord is Jesus. And Jesus probably is speaking to many of these people. He is the pre-incarnate. And many times, I think when he's speaking to these prophets, they're having an experience and they're hearing what Jesus is saying, because he and the word are one. You can't separate the two. And the word of the Lord came to them saying. The word of the Lord came to them. It's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Run a concordance and you'll find out. But an interesting thing popped up when I was studying this. That phrase is never used in the New Testament. It's only an Old Testament phrase. You know why? Because the word of the Lord has already come. The word of the Lord has already said. The word of the Lord has already spoken. The word of the Lord has sent the Holy Spirit to continue to speak and lead and guide us into all the truth. And yeah, we can still say the word of the Lord, or the voice of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. I understand that prophetic nuance or that terminology, but the way it's used throughout Scripture, and I studied over 20 translations, and not one of them have that phrase in the New Testament. Over 20 translations, I'd ran concordances on, not one in the New Testament. I thought for sure somebody like the Message, they're going to have that. Not one. That phrase, the word of the Lord came to me saying. God was laying out prophetically from Genesis all the way to Malachi, over and over again, what the word was going to look like, what the word was going to be, in a sense, should be recognized as, so that when Jesus, the Messiah, the Word made flesh, dwelt among them, they should have recognized Him. And they didn't. Now, I believe we have the voice of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, right here. A more sure word of prophecy. Amen. Take heed to this. Now, I know if someone comes along and prophesies something to you, thank God for charismatic gifts. I believe in them. But if they come along and prophesy something to you that does not line up with this, or something that does not line up with what I believe God has already spoken to your heart with that still small voice, you put it on the shelf. Brother Hagin says, just put it on the shelf. He says, you know what? The test of time, give it validity. And I've had some people come prophesy over me about some things. And I can verify, according to this, that there's some people, they prophesy according to their own knowledge. I had someone prophesy over me exactly. I remember sitting in a room with, at that time, which was my pastor, and they had a prophet in. And as the joke goes, they were a non-profit ministry. Because he started prophesying over me about how I, because at that time I was in the business world, and I was one of the biggest givers in the church, and next thing you know, I'm supposed to be helping their ministry, giving money to their ministry. You know, sometimes you think, oh, your pastor makes this stuff up. No, I don't. This is real stuff out there. I'm glad we've kind of gotten out of some of the stupid, crazy, charismatic stuff of the 70s and 80s. But I keep hearing every now and then it's coming back again because it circulates every generation. So some of you younger ones, be careful of that. Take heed. Be wary. Be on your guard. Know the voice of your good shepherd. And if it's not the voice of your good shepherd, you have your pastor's permission to stand up and say, stranger danger, and run out. Because all of these things, Zechariah chapter 4, I'm going to use two Old Testament scriptures, then we'll close with one last verse after that. Zechariah chapter 4, I had dozens and dozens of verses, but I'm going to use this one. The word of the Lord came to me saying, and I don't have context to put this into, or time to put it into context, but just listen. This is what he prophesied. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. So it's talking about something prophetically that has happened. Talks about now something that should happen or will happen. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now again, I don't want to go into the context of all that. You can go study that out in Zechariah yourself. But again, prophetically, he's setting something up and saying, here's what's already happened. Here's what's going to happen. And when this happens, you'll know that God's the one that set it in motion. That's the surety of that prophetic word. In Zechariah chapter 6, it goes on and says, and those who are far off shall come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass. That's a pretty clear indication. If it's prophetic and if it's God, it will come to pass. Then he says, though, if. Here's the human part. If you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. So there is a conditional if connected to this that's involved with obedience to the word of the Lord, to the voice of the Lord. Obedience is the key here to all of these things. And I think when God says something and tells us something and gives us a sure word in the New Testament, a sure word biblically, let's not debate it. Let's not disregard it. Let's not even delay it. Let's obey it. Amen. Obedience is always the best sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. And when we jump in with obedience, he says, that foundation will be laid. So here's a New Testament term for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Take heed to this word of the Lord about the foundation. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, but another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So there's something about your responsibility, my responsibility, how we build on the foundation that God is laying in your life. I don't know how perhaps you started with your foundation. Many of us, like I say, we were brought up in certain traditional churches. And they try to lay a particular foundation of Christianity in our life. Some of us rebelled against that and we abandoned it. Others, they tried to build on top of it. Others have renovated it. And that's part of the renewing of the mind. But, you know, sometimes you just have to go in there and say, all right, now I need to take heed how I build on top of it. Because if I'm going to build a whole lot of something on top of this, I need to know that that foundation is secure. And many of us have seen teachings and heard teachings and seen even pictures that for some of these huge skyscrapers that are 50 stories tall, what we don't see is how deep that foundation is in the ground. It goes just, some of them, just as many stories down deep to lay the footings that hits on bedrock. That's what we need to do with Jesus. Don't be so concerned about having this outward, upward appearance of Christianity. I'd rather take the time and spend digging deep and lay that foundation, have my heart fixed, trusting in the Lord, have my heart established. Because then when the winds come, the storms come, no matter what comes, my life will not be shaken because I've been built on the solid rock, not the shifting sand of traditions and doctrines. So take heed. Beware. That's not to make you scared or give you ulcers, make you nervous tonight. That's just a good common sense. You know, just be aware of it. Just be aware of it. There are a lot of... We have an enemy out there. Can we just put it that way? And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if we're aware of it, we can deal with it. Because I guarantee you, you might not get the phone call from Bert
but it may take some other type of situation, someone trying to get something out of you that the enemy's trying to get and to discourage you and take you down the wrong path. And you need to use wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
But every man, take heed how he builds thereon. That's all about the in him principles. So let's pray.
Father, we're so thankful again for your truth. We're so thankful for the word.